What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Our man, one of our favorite guests at Preview of the National Championship. Also get his take on what Georgia's been doing these last few weeks. Danny Cannell joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Hey, Danny, how you doing?
What's up, Mike? How we doing? Carl, you guys doing all right? Fired up? It feels bittersweet a little bit, like end of the college football season's here. It's kind of sad, but I thought the 12-team playoff was really a lot of fun. So it's great to be on with you guys, man.
Man, I agree with you. And I think the excitement of what we saw, listen, the first round, you know, everybody got caught up, Danny, in the blowouts. And blowouts have happened, whether it was the BCS or, you know, when we had the polls. That's just a part of this. But I think the buildup to this game on Monday night, you're absolutely right. There is some excitement. I want to ask you about the physicality of what we saw with Ohio State and what we've seen. They have just been dominant in these games. And I didn't think that would be the situation when you talk about their last three.
Yeah, they definitely have answered any questions. And even more so, Carl, how about the question marks they had around them after facing Michigan and losing the last game of the regular season, you know, for the fourth time in a row to a team that was basically more physical than them. As you mentioned, like Michigan's defense was able to shut down that offense, and then they couldn't run the football against Michigan, like, and they got run over somewhat by, you know, Khalil Mullings, the Michigan running back. Mm. So they had a pretty massive gut check, and it was probably a win that helped them get to where they are today, because I do think it galvanized a team which had been just praised all season long. They were the preseason favorite to win the national championship. They were this $20 million roster. They had pretty much been blowing through their opponents. And even the Oregon game, they lost on the road. It was close, and people just didn't even care about that. It was like, oh, they'll be fine. Mm. But that game, like, all of a sudden, Ryan Day came under scrutiny again. It really did feel like it pulled that team together, and then they just come out like a shotgun out of the, or, you know, just like a cannon out of the chute in the playoffs. They blow through Tennessee. They blow through Oregon in the rematch in the Rose Bowl, which was probably the most surprising outcome of this playoff. And then they get another nice win against Texas with the, you know, the play now that's going to go down in infamy, the Jack Sawyer, you know, return. So they have been all that they were the thought to be at the beginning of the season. It probably didn't go as smoothly as we would have thought, but that's what great teams do. They're able to endure some adversity, and they took that, stared it right down, and here we are on the verge of a national championship for the Buckeyes.
It is Danny Cannell with us, guys, here on the WadeFord.com hotline. One of the things which is interesting about Ohio State is, you know, Chip Kelly, it looked like in that Michigan game, it's like, well, what are you doing? I mean, how do you not get your star wide receiver, Jeremiah Smith, more involved? And ironically, in the win against Texas, just one reception for 3 yards. So it's hard to see them. I mean, can they beat Notre Dame without him being a factor on Monday night?
I think they could beat them the same way they beat Texas, right? And I think it does. Like, this is what great teams do. Like, you take what the defense is giving you. And I thought against Michigan, they played a little bit not to lose. And I think it's a very similar kind of game. Now, they were almost a 3-touchdown favorite against Michigan, but still an 8-point favorite is pretty significant because they do have the edge at almost every position on both sides of the ball. The edge might not be that great, but they do have better players across the board. So there could be a mentality of, well, let's just not go out there. Let's not expose our quarterback too much. What if he throws a pick six? What if one of our freshmen dropped the ball like a Jeremiah Smith, as good as he's been? There can be a temptation, especially if you get an early lead. Like, if it's 10-0, you can get a little bit tentative and maybe start playing a little conservative. That would be my messaging to Ryan Day, and I'm sure he's telling this to his staff and his players. You got to go for the jugular. And that is something they have done through the playoff, but it has to be like a controlled aggression. And that's the difference, I think, against Texas. Texas very clearly was saying, we're not going to give up the plays to Jeremiah Smith. We're not going to give up the big explosives. And so Ohio State methodically ran the ball down the field. When it wasn't there, they didn't force it. So they didn't turn the ball over. And they took advantage of the opportunities that were there, and they got the win. Now, it was close, and it was, you know, a tight-fought game. And the score is a little bit misleading because of that, you know, scoop and score, which put it up to 14. It was very close to being a tie ball game with 2 minutes with first and goal at the one. But Ohio State, ultimately, they got the win. So I would tell them to still be aggressive. And it can be tricky if you're Will Howard, the quarterback. You've got a player like Jeremiah Smith to try to force it to him. But you have to pick your spots. It has to be there. Because even as good as he is, if he's double covered, you could throw into trouble. And all of a sudden, you start turning the ball over. That's exactly what Notre Dame needs to do to stay in this game.
Danny Cannell, brought to you by Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for all of the latest odds. While we're talking about Texas, Quinn Ewers declares for the draft. What are your thoughts about this quarterback class as we speak right now? I know we haven't gotten past the national championship game, but Cam Ward, Quinn Ewers, obviously Shedeur Sanders. What are your thoughts on those guys specifically?
So I don't think it's a great class. I think they all have flaws. I think if this was a normal world, and when I say normal, I'd probably have to go back like 10 years, where teams really didn't overdraft quarterbacks. They kind of stood patiently. They'd wait for a guy to drop to the second round. But now I feel like they've gone almost to an NBA-type mentality where you need a quarterback, you got to take him in the top five. Like, you don't risk waiting on him. And a lot of times you just draft a guy on potential. Like, Anthony Richardson's a good example of that. The Colts drafted him after watching him only play 13 games for the Florida Gators, and he was average, but he lit it up at the combine, and they were like, oh, we can make this work. And the experiment's still very much, you know, up in the air, whether it works or not. This class, similar, I don't think there's a top-tier, like, upside guy that just blows you away with size. There's not, like, a 6'5 prototypical quarterback. There's not a guy that I think is going to blaze that runs, like, a 4'4. Again, these are kind of Anthony Richardson traits. And they've all got kind of flaws. I am down to Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. Those are my top two. And I do think they're kind of in a class by themselves. I lean slightly towards Cam Ward. I do think he has more upside. He's got a stronger arm than Shedeur Sanders, and he's more mobile and he's faster. And he's just a dynamic playmaker. Shedeur has been awesome. He's the best decision maker of this class. But he does have – his arm is not that strong. It's adequate, but it's not going to blow you away. And his mobility is adequate, but it's not going to really scare you as a defense. And while you're able to escape sometimes in college, I do think Shador's escapability gets exposed somewhat in the NFL. But he has shown – like, he's got a high football IQ, Shedeur does. So, like, those are my top two. I lean towards Cam Ward. I personally would probably rather see them taken in the – you know, 8, 9, 10 slot, but the chances are they're probably going to both go top three because teams need quarterback and you got to take them when you get them. It's interesting you brought up Quinn Ewers. One point on him, I still don't believe that he's going to go to the NFL. Now, he might. I think he could pull a Carson Beck, right, who you guys are more than familiar with, where he had to put his name in the draft yesterday. There was a deadline, but it doesn't mean he has to go to the NFL. I think he's weighing all his options. I think he's talking to various teams, maybe one in there right down the road from you guys, that possibly is in the market for a quarterback, seeing what the actual offers are. Don't believe everything you read because a lot of them are fake offers. And then he'll decide if he goes, because I'm talking to a lot of guys, and they're saying he could be a second, third, or maybe a fourth round pick. And if he passes, even if it's a couple million bucks, if he passes on that money, I think it's a big mistake for Quinn Ewers to go to the NFL. So he needs to do his due diligence. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's playing college football somewhere next year.
And Danny, you mentioned Carson Beck. This year was just weird. You know, I'm not a big fan of Bobo, but they couldn't run the ball. That Georgia was not good in the trenches. They just lost Trevor Etienne. They never maximized his talent. The receivers couldn't catch the ball. And then if he wasn't in the hands, he was also in the other defensive backs in the hands. What do you think of Carson Beck going to Miami, and what will eventually happen to him?
So I think it's a good, like, fresh start for everybody, because I do think, you know, I saw the reports that Georgia wanted him back, and I kind of feel like if Georgia wants anybody, they're going to get them. Like, there's no, like, they're not going to get outbid. So I kind of feel like this was a mutual parting of ways, which I think is good. Like, the one thing that surprised me was the amount of love that was shown for Gunnar Stockton as the backup. And trust me, as a backup most of my life, I get, like, that's where the fans often go to. But, like, the phrasing of they're going to play harder for him and they love their backup, that just felt a little awkward to me. Like, why don't you love your starter? Like, you know, like, I was just a little bit weird. Hmm. So I do think everybody, like, needs a fresh start. And I'm a little bit cautious on Carson Beck. I thought you saw him regress when he didn't have Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey, who are incredible players. But I do think he's a type of player that needs good talent around him. He's not super mobile. He's mobile enough. But, like, Miami needs to put better players around him. And they just lost a ton of production. They lost their two best receivers, their running back, a couple offensive linemen. Like, they need to replenish or else they're going to be looking at a season that underwhelms. And the one thing I feel bad for Carson Beck is the expectations are going to be he's going to be Cam Ward. He's going to lead a number one offense, scoring offense in the country, and he's going to have Miami right back in the cusp of an ACC championship game. And if they don't put him in a good situation, I don't think he's the type of player that can elevate everybody around him and carry a team there the way Cam Ward did. So I'm cautious on Carson Beck to the Miami Hurricanes that it's just going to put them in the playoff next year.
Danny, what are you hearing about Belichick? What's the deal? I mean, we know guys sometimes don't sign their deals, but this news comes out and we're like, well, that's kind of weird. Yeah. I mean, you did the presser. You're all in. Everybody I'm talking to says he is and wanting to be there. But are you hearing anything?
No. So the only thing I've heard is kind of what you guys, you know, Michael Lombardi, his GM, has been out there making the case saying, hey, no one's leaving. I do think if Bill Belichick would have changed his mind, it would have happened by now. Like, I think he's at Carolina. I think he's in Chapel Hill next year. To give you an example, this is kind of, I don't want to say normal, but it's not that crazy that he hasn't signed his contract. Moore, the head coach at Michigan, was in the second game of the season last year before he signed his deal officially on the dotted line. Like, it's not crazy. It seems crazy. I would want to have the money. Like, so I would want a signed contract, lock it up, put it under lock and key before I, I'd be nervous about just what are the chances. What if they change their mind? But it does kind of take some time to go through the logistics and have, the right attorneys and everybody look at it. So I'm not worried about that. I also feel like Belichick has committed enough time now where I don't think he would do that to Carolina. I could be totally wrong, but I feel like he's made this commitment and now he's sort of all in. And the way his contract was structured, it looked like they were guaranteed to get 1 year. And I do think he gives them that year. You know, the name who I think is very interesting is Deion Sanders, because I do think I put that greater than 50-50 that he does take the Dallas Cowboys job. And I actually think it could work. Because behind the sunglasses, behind the quotes and the brand and everything that Deion is about, he's actually a really good football coach. Like, he cares about the things that matter when it comes time to, like, preparing and getting guys ready to go in competition. And Jerry Jones is crazy enough to take that risk. He's taken a lot of risks in his life. I think it actually could work for Deion. So I give it a greater than 50-50 that Deion Sanders is the next catch of the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, man, we got 10 seconds. Who wins on Monday? What's the score?
I got the Buckeyes in a close game. I'm going to take Notre Dame and the points, and I am going to take the under because I think Notre Dame's going to try to drag Ohio State in the mud with them, making an ugly defensive game. And their defense is pretty stout, so I think they'll provide some challenges and not give up the big plays. So I like Notre Dame in the under.
All right.
Interesting. Low scoring, huh? Lower scoring than we expect.
Lower scoring, yeah.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Danny, great stuff as always, brother, man. We will catch up with you, and go Noles, please.
All right. Go Noles, Mike. We'll talk to you later.